Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And today we're going to talk to our homeschooling families about planning special events. That's one of the reasons why we often feel like our homeschool children are left out, because they don't have graduation, field day, all those things. And associations can go a long ways in helping make those things happen. So we're going to talk about it. Okay, here we go.
I get a chance to start off on this one because one of my daughters graduated from the eighth grade in a homeschool situation. Now, she was adamant that she needed to be able to graduate. And I think it was important for her to be able to graduate, too. It marked the end of an era for her, and she was moving on into the next era. And to have that recognition that she had achieved 8 years of school and come out doing good was very, very important. So she wanted not only the graduation, she wanted the graduation party, she wanted everything that went with the graduation. So let's talk about how we do this for these students. What are some of the components that are necessary? You can plan a graduation, but how do you get buy-in from the community at large for something like this that allows you to bring in, you know, the facilities and everything else that goes with it?
Well, if you're involved with a church, the church is usually open. If you can connect with a homeschool, with the homeschool umbrella, another church school or private school that is a homeschool umbrella, they usually will invite you in. But in the case of your daughter, she had a church family, but she wasn't underneath another school umbrella. She did a lot of work. She picked my brain, and I have two sources for graduation caps and gowns. One is Jostens, and the other one is called Graduation Source. They're both websites. You can go on there and see which is the most inexpensive, but for $24, you can have a cap and gown and a tassel, you know. So she also got a friend of hers that was being homeschooled in a different town, but those parents got together and they planned a pretty nice graduation. They had music, they marched down the aisle, they had a speaker, they gave gifts to different teachers that had been important in their lives, different people that were important in their lives. They had their own little speeches. They did a parent tribute. So there's these attributes of a graduation, which are basically the cap and gown, the flowers, and then the program itself usually consists of the opening prayer, the president's speech, and in this case, both homeschoolers could give a speech if they wanted to, the keynote speaker, the parent tribute, and that takes up about an hour to get all that in, some special music. So I think that I never asked your daughter how she felt about her eighth grade homeschool graduation.
Well, I can tell you she was thrilled with it. She felt very good about it. It gave her that closure, and it gave her those memories.
And all the grandparents came on both sides of the family.
Yes.
And then you had a party afterward.
Yes. You know, every graduation has to have a graduation party.
Yes, and it was in a barn, if I remember, or up in the top of a hayloft or something.
Yes,
like
it
that.
Was. We had it in the top of a barn, and fortunately we have people who play banjo and guitar and everything else, and so we were able to create a kind of a bluegrass motif for it.
I always want students to have an eighth grade graduation. Some schools I know do sixth grade, and I like kindergarten graduations too. And I've had a lot of, I would say, criticism over having these kids wear caps and gowns. But I'm here to tell you that those graduations, kindergarten and eighth grade, mean more to students than even high school. And then by the time you get to college, yeah, you're so glad you accomplished something, but it just doesn't have that meaning. And in other cultures, we have a, you know, kind of an initiation from one age to the other. But in our culture, it really is the graduation when you're going from that eighth grade, that elementary, middle school to high school. You're almost at an adult, you know. So when you hit high school, things are dramatically different. I like the graduation. I think it helps parents and kids say, look, it, you know, we really have a lot of love for each other, and now we're going on to the next stage of our lives, and it's a great send-off. So, yeah, for those of you who think that it's not important, it's important. Also, when I was in the eighth grade, I was the only eighth grader, and the teacher said, we only have one person graduating, so we're not going to have a graduation. So they didn't have a graduation, which, you know, wasn't that big of a deal. I didn't feel terribly bad about it or anything like that. I didn't mope about it, didn't cry about it or anything. But later I got to thinking, you know, I want to make sure if someone wants to have a graduation, that they can have a graduation. Doesn't matter whether you're one student in a homeschooling situation. You know, you can go outside and set up chairs. You can put up a tarp. You can do something to acknowledge that, hey, that student has been in school for 9 years. They need something to say, yay, you've accomplished something. You really have. Okay, let's go through the school year and look at all of what a traditional school would have and see how a homeschooling family might want to do it. Let's start with the first event is usually a fall festival of some type.
Yeah, there is a fall festival, and that would be something interesting that, again, it's very important that the church be involved in. Now, you probably have some conflicts if the church has a school attached to it.
Yes, and wherever you can collaborate, it is a blessing for a school to have a homeschooling community connected with it. I would recommend every small school have a homeschooling community connected with it and to actively see how you can help each other.
So then in that case, you could have the homeschoolers. Now, they can be umbrellaed under a homeschool association, or they can be umbrellaed under the school. If that works out good, being under the school seems to me to be a smart way to go.
Yes, the most perfect school is the home. The home always remains the most important school, even once you send your children to traditional school. I know I say this all the time. Can't bear it. It's all right to keep repeating myself. And so the fall festival is traditionally a time where you're thankful for bountiful harvest. It's a time to get together, and there's often things like moon bounces and pony rides and apple dunkings and things like that. And so if you just look around, you'll see some advertised. So even if you just take your family to one, it's a good thing to say, okay, that's part of our schooling, is we're going to involve ourselves, we're going to attend a fall festival.
Yeah, if you could plan it, the church would be a great community to have that, to sponsor that fall festival.
It's a great outreach. The last fall festival that I was involved in, a homeless shelter came, and the members paid for them to eat and to do all of the events for free. It was a great outreach, and I think everything we do in life needs to have that component of how I'm blessing other people. And that is one thing that a homeschooling family needs to make sure, you know, how are we blessing? We're kind of exclusive here with our education, but how are we blessing other people?
The other part of that, too, is the community, the greater community, which is your church family next. So you have your family community, and then you go outside of that. A fall festival, just to probably bring this part to a close so we can move on to the next one. A fall festival is an opportunity for that church family to be part of that young person's life. And you think about these young people, you think they're not influenced by the community of the church? Think again.
Right.
I mean, they are influenced by their parents, and we all know that. That's a given. The strongest influence a child has is their parents, good or bad. But there are people in the church or in the other community who can mentor, can inject, can be part of that child's life. And some of them could be their Sabbath school leaders.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some older people in the church who are almost like grandparents to them. There's different roles that can be played by the members of the church for the young people that are in that church. So important.
We've gotten to the fall festival, and the next event might be something to do with Thanksgiving. I traditionally like kids to memorize poems. Poems about fall, poems about Thanksgiving. And then, you know, what do you do with the poem? Well, you need to recite it somewhere. And you can go to a retirement center or a nursing home, arrange to have a little Thanksgiving program, or you can have a Thanksgiving meal in your home that the kids prepare and invite people to. But Thanksgiving is a great opportunity for having a little outreach, and at the same time, I just love, I always have my kids make Indian feathers out of construction paper, where you fold the paper, you kind of cut a long oval shape, and then you just make all those little slices down the edge. And when you open it up, it's this beautiful feather, and you just tape it or glue it to a headband. And they love making their Indian headbands and things like that, and sitting around the table dressed as Indians and hopefully not acting like little wild Indians. But Thanksgiving is another opportunity to have a little change of scenery, and at the same time, it's a learning opportunity.
It does. It gives them a chance. If you think about it, it takes and makes something real to them that they've been reading about.
Yeah.
Because by this time, they would have been reading about it in part of their geography or history or social studies.
And now Christmas. Christmas is one of those times where if you can have your child involved in a Christmas program, that creates wonderful memories, and it really does bring to life the reason for Christmas.
You'd hope that your church would have a Christmas pageant or some kind of a Christmas program that would be involving the young people in that church. It's an amazing thing. Those memories will stick with those children throughout the rest of their lives.
Yes, I wrote a Christmas program that was based on the Desire of Ages. So the older students memorize passages of the Christmas story from the Desire of Ages. And then the younger children have a more lighthearted one-liners that they do acting out the Christmas story. And then interspersed are some traditional Christmas songs, and we call it the living oracles, because it's the living story of Jesus coming to earth. It's phenomenal as far as when you think about that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, well, how can we have our children believe if we don't provide them some concrete ways of believing? So Christmas time for me is highly spiritual, where I really want the students to believe.
Now, it's something interesting here, because that needs to be brought out. You talked about developing a Christmas pageant that you use year after year, the same one. And do you see that it could be boring, or does the dynamics change every time, or how does that work for the audience?
Well, I don't know if it's the age we live in. We're so busy, and our brains are so full of information that we tend to recognize it when we see it, and then we set it aside and move on to something else. I've never had any parents ever complain about the tradition of having the same program, because different kids do the different parts. They start hounding me, because they know we start practicing after the fall festival. They start hounding me, I want to play this part this year. I want to do this solo this year. So the idea is that we don't do the same things every year. The same person isn't singing the same solos, and the same oracles aren't reciting the same oracles. And just with the Christmas story, I don't think it ever really gets old.
No, and I think one of the things that in doing it this way, it gives you the opportunity to do something without going through an overwhelming amount of work.
Yes.
That's involved in, if you're going to do a different play every year, first of all, people typically aren't going to remember from year to year what they saw, and it changes because mm-hmm. you've got new sheep.
Yes.
And you have new shepherds, and you have new angels, and you have a new baby Jesus, maybe.
Yes.
So everything changes. The dynamics of the program change, and really, as a person who's sat in the audience of many of these different programs, parents come there not only for the spiritual blessing of learning about baby Jesus, but they're also coming there to see, one, their child perform, two, the enjoyment and pleasure of just watching children try to do this. And it can get very comedic at times. And humor is a good thing to have.
Yes.
So, you know, especially when the little sheep decide to scatter to the four winds and the shepherds are running around trying to round them all up, it can get very, very enjoyable for the audience. So, and then the audience is going to remember their time when they were kids and did these pageants too. So you can do the same pageant because, you know, the story doesn't really change.
Yes, and I, as you're talking, I'm thinking when I wrote this, I envisioned multi-grade. So, but what always amazed me in all of this is every so often, you know, these preschool age children, you don't think it's sinking in. But when it came to the performance, some of those little sheep that had not paid any attention through the whole rehearsal times stood up and sang word for word the songs like Angels We Have Heard on High. You know, it was so cute. And you realize that at their developmental level, they were still hearing what was being sung, and they understood. So I think that we have to do these programs and account for all ages, all abilities. And just, I always tell the students, it's just an act of worship to God. Even when we practice, and I try to never practice more than 30 minutes at a time, 30 minutes a day, that now it was our act of worship. And so the teachers were instructed, you don't get upset with the kids if they forget their lines. We just do it again and just be very patient, because this is an act of worship for God every rehearsal. And it shows then when we actually did the performance, it showed.
So you start right after the fall festival. So you basically are giving yourself about 6 weeks.
Yes. And they start. They will start reminding me right when school starts. When do we start practicing? When do we start practicing? And, you know, we orchestrated our practice so it was a half hour at the end of the school day one day and a half hour just before lunch the next day. Because that way it, you know, some kids are really at their best just before lunch. For some reason, it's like, okay, they're very keen then. And then other students are at their best towards the end of the school day. So we alternated it. Mondays was the end of the day. Tuesday was the end of the morning. And that way, too, those that were just there for half day, they did good. And we had some children that would often sleep into the longer part of the day. So we alternated it like that, and I'll probably continue to do that for the rest of my career whenever I have the opportunity. I know we're just about to the end of the show time, and I wanted to talk about some other events that would be important for homeschooling families to do, and that, of course, is around the Easter vacation time. And you know, if you wanted to have an Easter program that finished the story that you started at Christmas, that would be wonderful. We have never been able to do that just because our school year gets filled with field trips, outdoor school, picture day, and starting to prepare for graduation, and field day. It just gets so full. But we do try to have at least some type of end of the year program, talent program or something like that. And your kids need that. Everybody needs the opportunity to get up and do something that they like to do, not something that's prescribed. And so that's another good event. And now we've come full circle back to our graduation, where we really encourage you to have a special graduation for your child.
Now, I want to ask this question because this one's been nagging at me the whole time we've been talking here. When we're talking about all of these different programs, most of them we're talking about people wearing clothes appropriate to what's going on. Sheep dressed as sheep and shepherds as shepherds, etc. So when we come to graduation, we're talking about a ritual or a rite of passage. How important is it to wear the cap and gown?
I think it's mainly a matter of taste. You know, you want to do it. I find that younger kids are more excited about cap and gown than older kids. I started this tradition at the last school where even all of the staff would wear their caps and gowns. And of course, I met with some resistance on it. But by the fourth year, you know, I'd established the culture for it. So even the students that had graduated from eighth grade and that had continued on in 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, even they then, well, do we get to wear our caps and gowns? Sure. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, sure. So now you have a whole school with lots of caps and gowns and doctoral regalia. And it's even good to talk about the regalia. I don't always get to put it in the little program, but there's a lot of information on the internet about regalia and why we do what we do. So your answer is, it's a matter of taste, but it really helps if you're in a group. Then you don't have to worry about what kind of clothes they're wearing underneath, and so that kind of takes that issue out too for a school. But in a homeschooling situation, you know, you're in charge, the parents in charge, they probably wouldn't have that issue.
Yeah, I would be one that would be in favor of getting it. I mean, it's not a whole lot of money to get it, but it is something that absolutely makes a statement.
Yes.
It is a visible statement. That child is graduating.
Yes.
And all the better if you're having it in your local church, to have your pastor even come in his cap and gown, if he will come in his cap and gown, if he's going to be part of it.
Yeah, it just makes sense. You know, you buy this, the regalia gets more expensive as you graduate and get higher up. And
it just Tell me about it.
It just makes sense that we use it as a symbol of lifelong learning, that we value lifelong learning. And so that's one of the reasons why I really do support the idea of having those little symbols in a whole gown, in a mortarboard where you flip the tassel over. And,
yes.
Okay, well, we have more than said enough about special events. And with that, we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.